The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. And though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From now on, therefore, regard no one according to their flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, for that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. And when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf to kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. Now, his older son was in the field, and when he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed a fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A lot of movies like to have sequels or part three or part four. Very few times, I think, if we looked at it, is part two or part, especially part three, doesn't compare to the first one. In the gospel lesson for today, this is the part three of Jesus' parables about repentance and forgiveness. The first parable he talks about is the lost coin, then the lost sheep, and then finally, today's gospel lesson, the parable of the prodigal son. What Jesus was having the Pharisees and the scribes answer is, how much are you willing to forgive? And each parable ups the ante over the earlier one. But we call it the parable of the prodigal son. But in reality, the spotlight is on the father in our story. But to give the background, the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, how dare Jesus eat and associate with these sinners? Jesus was showing the love of God the Father and the Father in the parable. The parable is a story about God's attitude towards sinners who repent. To the Pharisees and scribes, once you were classified as a sinner, you were to be shunned and nobody was to have anything to deal with you. So Jesus begins the parable. There was a man who had two sons. Jesus liked to compare two things. He compares the Pharisee to the tax collector in one of his parables. He compares the wise and foolish virgins. He compares the two sons. But the parable is about the father's attitude. The father in the story is symbolic of God's unconditional love. In verse 12, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. If you want to make assumptions on the age of this younger son, he was probably 20-ish and unmarried. The law of Moses stated that two-thirds of the inheritance went to the eldest son, and then the remaining one-third was divided amongst all the other sons. So the youngest son gets one-third of all the property. In verse 13, a few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in wild living. Gathered all. The Greek words for that means he turned it into cash. He sold all the property, livestock, and everything material that his father had just given him and converted it into cash because it's easier to spend in a far country in wild living. And then it says in the parable, there was a famine that arose in the land and he hired himself out to a pig herder. Swine herding was the lowest job anybody could have. It was actually considered immoral for a Jew to feed pigs. This is how low the youngest son has hit. He's hit absolute rock bottom. It says in verse 16, he would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But in verse 17, he comes to his senses. It says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. He comes to his senses. He repents of what he's done. And part of repentance is he changed his attitude. He admitted that he was wrong and he resolved to set things right. In verses 18 and 19, he rehearses what he's going to say to his father. But it's important to note, he says, I've sinned against God, that's first, and then I have sinned against my father. In verses 20 and 21, the father is on the lookout for the youngest son. He sees him when he's a long ways off. It's assumed that the father was constantly looking down the road where his son had gone, waiting for the day that he would come back. And he runs to greet his son, which, by the way, is significant. In the Middle East, your village leaders don't run. They walk fast, but they don't run because that's beneath their dignity. But in this parable, the father runs to his youngest son. And the youngest son tries to say what he's rehearsed he was going to say to his father, but his father cuts him off and instead calls the servants to bring him a robe, a ring, sandals on his feet, and to kill the fattened calf. In verse 22, the youngest son is treated like an honored guest, not like a servant, not being punished, which he deserved. Note, he deserved it, but he doesn't get it. And he's not demoted from being his son to just a hired hand. In verse 24, he talks about the son who was dead has come to life. The situation has now changed and causes joy on the father's part. What the youngest son did is now lost and dead. The son is alive and found. And to the father, that's all that matters. Now enters the oldest son. He becomes angry. He resents that the youngest son has been taken back. And when he describes, I have worked the fields, the word actually means I slaved. So he's telling his father, I was a slave for you and did all this work, and you've taken me for granted. You wouldn't even give me a goat, which was on the scale of animals to celebrate with. It was low on the scale. Fattened calf was on the top of the heap. A goat was on the bottom of the heap. And the eldest son says, you didn't even give me the bare minimum. And the eldest son cannot even describe his brother as his brother. He describes him as this child of yours. But the father reassures him that everything he has now belongs to him. But now it's time to celebrate because the youngest son is back. That's how the parable ends. We never learn if the eldest son joined the celebration or not. The parable is as much about the forgiving father as it is the two sons. The parable teaches that God is waiting, and he's willing to forgive those who repent, but we can, quote, be far away from God, which prevents reunion. The two sons represent estrangement from love. The youngest son was physically away from the father, but the eldest son was emotionally away from the father. But to both sons, the father's love is unconditional. Even in spite of the fact that the youngest son saw that the grass was greener in this faraway country, I want to do what I want to do. I'm a young man. Why can't I live my life the way I want? Why do I have to listen to my father's rules? He becomes disillusioned, but the key part of the story is he repents. He realizes he has gone astray. He has lost everything. He's hit the bottom of the barrel. The repentance was real. Repentance is not complaining about what we have lost. Rather, it's acknowledging that we have broken God's holy law. He has sinned against God and his earthly father. He apologizes without excuse. He didn't claim, oh, it was abuse, it was neglect, lesser treatment since I was the youngest son. He's not like the oldest son who just gives a litany of complaints against the father. The youngest son basically walks in and says, Father, I've sinned, I blew it, I'm sorry. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. The eldest son ends the story, quote, far from home and far from the father. He inflated his own self-worth. And he felt that his father was showing mercy to the bad son. After all, he was the good son. He was the son who was always in church, always did, or always trying to do what was expected of him. But yet, the youngest son, who was wild and everything else, is accepted back with a full celebration. The eldest son represented the Pharisees and their attitude towards sinners. They felt unappreciated by God, that they were unrewarded, that they were being treated harshly by God. But note in the story, the father is never critical of the eldest son's complaints. He shows the same compassion that he showed to the youngest son, that he shows to the oldest son. After all, he says, all I have is yours. What more do you want? The oldest son can only pout, complain, resent, and rebuke the father. What family hasn't seen this type of story play out at a holiday during the year, or at least have heard of other families who have had terrible arguments at a family gathering? I think we can relate to the parable of the prodigal son. Because no one knows what true love is until you are loved unconditionally. That we are loved for, quote, being rather than doing. Sincere repentance, an apology to God, requires no excuses or blaming. It's taking upon ourselves personal responsibility. The father stood his ground the way that Jesus stands his. He didn't let the criticism of the Pharisees or the scribes or the church good doers affect his attitude towards sinners. He could rise above the rejection of the youngest son, the sinners that he was dealing with, and the resentment of the oldest son. As I said, he loved both sons unconditionally. God loves all people unconditionally. We are sinners, but yet he loves us. And he had faith that both sons would eventually come around. That's God the Father waiting for us to repent. As I said, the story ends without us knowing about the eldest son. Perhaps it's unanswered because at times we're like the oldest son. Oh, we'll apologize, but it comes with excuses. We resent the good fortune that others have. We interpret forgiveness as some sort of weakness. Or we'll say, I can forgive, but I can't forget. We're being like the oldest son. Rather, can I love like the Father who loves me like this? God's love is unconditional. He's ready to forgive. The youngest son needed to repent. He needed to hear the Father's forgiveness. It's not enough just to feel that you are forgiven. We must be assured of it. Now, many people don't know in the Lutheran Church, we do have private confession. We also confess our sins publicly as a congregation. And we need to hear the words of forgiveness, that we are restored to a sonship or daughtership of God. Then God the Father can say to us, join the celebration. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen. Please rise and we confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.